May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing to you, O Lord, my God and my Savior. Amen. Are you thirsty? Are you thirsty? I know I am. Physically, these cold winter days have just dried me out. My hands are dry, my lips are dry. I can't seem to drink enough water or put enough lotion on. Spiritually, I've been feeling parched. I've been off my routine for a while now, and I'm finding it difficult to get back into a rhythm. 2017 was a tough year for Martin and me. Our life changed in just that 1 minute when he slipped in the yard and broke his leg. That's all it took. And my time with God changed in that same minute. I was used to having quiet time in the morning as I prepared for my day, and I like to talk to God while I cook dinner. I need time to just be alone with him and to study his word and to breathe him in. I need that. Not long after Martin's leg healed and we started to get back into a rhythm, his dad got sick and spent time in and out of the hospital and then in rehab. So, you know that saying that says if it's not one thing, it's another. It's true. Life's obligations and job requirements didn't change. Just more responsibilities were added. I have been exhausted, and I've been missing my time with God. I'm thirsting for him. Come, all you who are thirsty, come and drink of the waters. You will never thirst again. God's invitation to us is so beautiful. It didn't take long for the changes in my routine to absorb my time and my energy. And I think it's like that for most of us, maybe for all of us. 1 minute you've got it all together, and the next life has you all tangled up. Well, back in when Isaiah was delivering this message to the Israelites, they were a people in need. They had endured neglect and injustice at the hands of the Babylonians. They were no longer in their homelands. They were trying to make the best of a bad situation. Don't we do that? We know that there are better choices for us. But we're used to the situation we're in. We are familiar with where life has us. We're in our comfort zone. So why change to the unknown? What if we make changes and things get worse? We think maybe this is where God wants us to be. We all do this. We like being right where we are. But what if God really does want something bigger and better for us? Come and buy wine and milk without money and without price. I believe that God is saying, I have already paid the ultimate cost for you to come to me. He is offering us water to sustain our lives and wine and milk to give us strength and nourishment and pleasure. We won't need to have cash or credit cards, and we don't need to take out a loan to quench our thirst. We do not need to buy our way into God's good graces with our deeds. God has paid for the gift of salvation for each of us. We need only to accept it. The cost of salvation, however, is not free. It will cost us something. We will need to humble ourselves before God, and we will need to ask for his forgiveness. We will need to admit that we are sinners in need of his saving grace. God is calling us to repent before we are able to accept this amazing gift that he is offering us. Are you willing? Instead of drinking deeply from the well that God is offering, I've been sipping, eating standing up, taking a bite, and then running on to the next item on my agenda. I've just been getting by, and as it turns out, I've been running on empty. I need to turn back to God every day and to seek His forgiveness. I need to drink from His well every day. God is offering to fill us up to overflowing, to give us satisfaction and peace in our lives. He wants us to come to Him and quench our thirst. He loves us so much that He sent Isaiah to boldly challenge us with really uncomfortable questions like, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? And why do you labor for that which does not satisfy your soul? He says, listen, listen carefully. Hear what I am saying to you. Listen to me, your God, so that you may live. He says, I am making a covenant with you that will be everlasting. God alone will pardon and forgive you of your sins so that you may come to Him ready to serve Him. God alone provides us with hope in unconditional love. In the fourth chapter of the Gospel of John, we hear about the Samaritan woman that Jesus speaks to at the well. I love this story. Our Monday night women's Bible study has been learning about the Samaritan woman for 5 or 6 weeks now, I guess. There is a lot to this story. So the Bible says Jesus asked her for a drink. Jesus is a Jew, and He's speaking to a Samaritan woman in public. This was unheard of. She questions Jesus. She says, I'm a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? Well, here's the thing. Jesus approached her first, but it was up to her to respond to Jesus. She had to be the one to open her heart up to what Jesus was offering her. Brothers and sisters, we too have to be open to the invitation that Jesus is extending to us. We think that we can meet our daily needs on our own. We need to not bother God with the small details of our life. We even pray in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And yet, we think we can go through our days without talking to God. God wants us to depend on Him. He is calling us to enter into relationship with Him, and He gives us a way to follow Him. How much easier could He possibly have made it for us? Oh, but wait. We are hard-headed, stubborn human beings, and we actually think and believe that we know what's best for ourselves, don't we? Right? Well, I think we need to be honest with ourselves. And if we're being honest with ourselves, we have to admit that no, we really do not know what's best for us. Through Isaiah, God says to us, give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. God is saying to us, I love you, and I want you to have joy in your life. When you serve me, I will give you peace and mercy. I will always be faithful to you. The Samaritan woman really listens to Jesus when He tells her about the living water that only He can provide. In verse 13, Jesus says, everyone who drinks this water
will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water that I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. She responds to Jesus by asking him, "Where can I get this water that you speak of?" She is ready to have her life changed. She is tired of living a sinful, lonely life. And she is so excited about meeting Jesus that she runs and tells everyone about him. "The Christ is here. Come, come and see for yourself." She's not delivering a quiet message here. Brothers and sisters, there is nothing, nothing that we can do that will break the covenant that God has made with us. We are his children. He loves us, and he wants us to be happy in him. He wants us to love and to serve others. We are to run to him when he calls us. Think about a young child running across the yard when their mom or dad calls them. They run as fast as their little fat legs can carry them, and their arms are wide open, and they've got this great big smile on their face. This is how God wants us to come to him. Eagerly and with abandon, smiling big. We are all welcome to come to his well. He wants us to not be thirsty. He is inviting us to live in eternity with him, and he wants us to love him just as he loves us. As Christians, we are called to love one another and to take care of one another. There are so many thirsty people in the world who do not know love. Their well is empty. They are lonely and alone. They are unloved, abandoned, and unwanted. Just like the Samaritan woman before she meets Jesus. Micah calls us to act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with God. Zechariah tells us to administer true justice, show mercy and compassion to one another. We are called to show others the eternal well of God. Are you willing to listen and hear God? To answer his call to come to the waters? God has set a banquet table for us. He does not want us to go thirsty or hungry. He has already paid the price for us to partake in this gala feast. God is inviting you to walk in closer relationship with him. 1 John chapter 4 tells us this. This is how God showed his love amongst us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. This scripture really touches my heart. He has already forgiven us of our sins and issued to us an invitation to drink from the living waters. All we have to do is repent of our sins, turn back to him, and say yes to our Lord's invitation. God's waters are abundant and everlasting. God's love is unconditional, and it's for all of eternity. I'd like you to close your eyes now and listen to the sound of God's healing waters. visualize the purifying and cleansing, the purifying and cleansing powers of the Holy Spirit moving through you and in you. Drink deeply of the everlasting water. There is plenty for everyone. Listen.
All who are thirsty, all who are weak, come to the fountain. Dip your hearts in the streams of life. Let the pain and the sorrow be washed away in the waves of your mercy as deep cries out to deep. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come.
Brothers and sisters, praise God for his mighty acts of love and mercy and grace in our lives. Amen.